Hey, Billy. So, I'm going to start with last night. After I recorded last night's episode, I was off to bed and I decided, as I was on my way to bed, I finished doing the dishes and stuff, and Beck was already asleep. And obviously, last night took a lot longer than I expected. And I was tired and I went to go jump in bed. And then I remembered that I told Lexi that she asked me to make her something special the other day. And so I thought, well, yeah, no worries. And I'd just forgotten last 2 days. And I was on my way to bed and I remembered that I hadn't done it yet. And I told her I was going to do it tonight. And tomorrow morning she's going to ask me. And so I decided that I would come back into the office. There's that book, Influence, by Tully Sharrett. And she talks about how, and this is why I chose to do it then, because everything in me wanted to go to sleep. Not everything, because obviously I didn't. Tully Sharrett, she talks about in Influence, the marshmallow experiment, and how there's a second part to the marshmallow experiment where they, and I've heard this before, but it's the first time I've read anything where they actually provide evidence to back up the hypothesis that the marshmallow experiment isn't complete. And so what they did was they said to these kids, something like, you know, you've got these crayons to draw with, but they weren't quite working properly or something. And they said to half the group, they said to the whole group, you know, we'll get you some more and we'll come back. And half the group, they came back and they gave them new sets of crayons so they could do some drawings. The other half, they didn't. And they said, sorry, that's all we've got. Excuse me. So they did the marshmallow experiment. And overwhelmingly, the kids who were given an uncertain future from the researchers failed the marshmallow experiment. And the whole thing is, why should you wait for something in the future if the future has been taught to you to be uncertain? And obviously the extension of that is that as parents, it's important that we frame the world in a way that is going to be useful to our kids. And I believe, and maybe I'm reading into this too far, but I think that the ability to be able to follow through on what you said you're going to do, I think is really, really critical. And so that's what I did. And I'm proud of that. So I'm proud I did that. Yeah. Feels weird to talk to my future self. I kind of keep forgetting. But it's always better when I do. So that was cool. I woke up this morning. The kids were right in the thick of it. We started using the grow clock again. And that way the kids know that they don't get out of bed until the proverbial sun's up. That was great. And then since we started reading this, Beck and I started reading that book on Montessori. The Montessori Child is what it's called. And it's got these really nice infographics and it's very minimalist and what have you. Since we started reading that, we've really had a bit of a perspective shift on the kids and how we're showing up and how we're serving our kids and all that. And one of the things they talk about is just being really, really observant around your children and what your children need and what your children are doing, and then facilitating their interests because they are naturally interested. And what we noticed recently, like, you know, learning how to write and read and maths and stuff, that's always been like a real chore. And the dichotomy of this is that, like, I think that learning, aligned learning the right thing at the right time for your journey is the equivalent of fun and play. And so it's interesting because, like, the both Tilly and Lexi are really eager to learn how to do, how to spell. Lexi's right in the middle of loving maths. And I love this because maths is always like demonized almost. And that's really, it's really, really cool to observe. So this morning, I woke up and before the kids got up, I printed off, so I made some like, I just downloaded a font. Well, sorry, not downloaded. It was already downloaded. A font that the kids can trace. Did upper and lowercase letters, printed all them off for the whole alphabet for both the kids. And then I just went through and I was like, hey kids, what words do you want to learn how to spell? And it was really cool because like as they started doing that, then they were able to actually start seeing, you know, Lexi was like, hey dad, what's this? So she actually gave me all the words and the word she was struggling to read was a unicorn. Valid. When you're six, it kind of makes sense. And she wasn't quite reading it right. And we kind of like spelled it out and we got really slow and really intentional with it. And then I could see just, we went and kept making the sounds and then it clicked and she realized that she was trying to spell unicorn, which she asked for. And it was this like moment where she was like, oh, that's hilarious. So on a side note, Lexi's personality has really started to come out in the last probably month or two. It's really beautiful. So the kids started doing their thing and Beck and I started the day just hanging out the front. And Beck, I mean, obviously you guys are familiar with, and in the last few episodes I talk around my relationship with comfort and how it's not great. And it's something that Beck and I share, you know. Yeah. But I do love my ice bath. I absolutely love my ice bath. And I took it from 0 degrees. I raised it up to 5 degrees. And Beck's actually pretty keen to jump in it now, to the point that she's like, yeah, I'm actually genuinely excited. So we've still got a couple more weeks, obviously, post-birth before I guess she's got the... Oh, no, she could probably do it now. Yeah, I guess there's no harm in that. But anyway, so that was really, really cool. You know, it's always something that she's kind of been like, nah, not for me. So it's cool to see that she's on board with that now. As a quick aside, on the health sides of things, so I shaved my beard off, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, something like that. I think today's the third day. And that's also when I started fasting. So I am at the end of my third day of the fast. I've got 4 more to go. And I started at 107.7 kilos and I am 105.2, which is pretty wild. So, nah, it's incredible. I've been drinking heaps of water. Tonight, I've had a couple glasses of red with Beck. Nice little cab sav we found. So, but yeah, outside of that, an espresso. It's just water. So, it's been good. Here's the other thing that I've also noticed, which really has kind of surprised me a little bit. But in a way, kind of not. It's more that... It surprised me because, I mean, it makes logical sense, but it surprised me because I am on the receiving end this time. And now it's not just theory, it's practice, you know, and it's really interesting. It's like, you know, it's like fasting. People say, oh, you lose tons of weight and you get like, you have high energy and whatever. And then you're like, yeah, nah, it doesn't quite make sense. Nah, no way. I kind of get the theory. Yeah, it's sweet. And then you do it and you're like, holy shit, I don't need an afternoon nap. I'm really, really, really clear in my mind and all these sorts of things. Heads up, if ever you fast, that's what happens. Shit's crazy. Or all the times I fast, so that's been my experience. And a lot of people I know who fast, that's also their experience. So, but one of the things around like being like disciplined, even just as much as like, you know, what goes in my mouth and about moving my body and these things, what I found super interesting is that I wanted to naturally get my environment very organized. You know, like the Savo, I felt like I was nesting. Like when women are about to have kids and they just start organizing their lives and the house and all this sort of stuff, it was incredible. And like all these little odd jobs that just got like, you know, just been laying around and they're just annoying. Well, like I knocked them all out the Savo and I think, you know, when I feel clear in my mind and when I feel clear on what I'm doing, I naturally want an environment that's clear as well. So that was really interesting to observe, and I'm really enjoying it. You know, like, I think I lean too much on the argument that, you know, we've got a, you know, a household of four kids, and it can be pretty chaotic. That's the end of my story. So yeah. Anyway, we took the kids down to Kids Fest, and it was, well, it wasn't pissing rain, but it kind of came and went, and it was good. We were like there right at the door. We were like one of the first people through, and we'll probably go back tomorrow. The kids loved it, and Eliza was super, super apprehensive about the animals, but ended up getting right into it. And Tilly was pretty standoffish, wasn't totally into it, and Lex and Eliza ended up loving it. And they spent ages around these like farm animals and, you know, feeding the goats and the sheep and the ducks and all that sort of stuff, which was great. Lexi had the most sweet reaction. She PJ Masks featured these like three characters, came up on stage and featured, and when they walked out on stage, Lexi turned around and looked at Beck and I, and both of us wish we caught it, with this like absolute expression of pure joy and wonder, like as if they're here, like this is crazy, you know. And so that was so stoked. So that was really cool. Yes, we did a bit of that, and Beck went off and took Sterling to the chiro. He's just not quite been sleeping right and just been really bound up. And actually tonight it was an absolute bloody chore, I tell you that. Like, he keeps favoring his right side. And we've been needing to turn his head to his left, and yeah, just because he's a bit too tight. And man, I persevered with him tonight and finally got like where he was comfortable, at least like resting on our chest with his head tilted to the other side, and just really slowly with him. And yeah, so anyway, Beck took him to the chiro this morning to give him a bit of a touch up, and he did, yeah, that was good. And so then I was looking after the kids at Kids Fest, and we got some chips and ran around and held some snags and bobtails and ran into Lolly and the kids there too, which was great. And yeah. yeah, I kind of, as well, I kind of had this realization that I've not really needed to nap for the last 2 days, which is incredible, because usually every single day I need a nap. And so it's been incredible that while I've been fasting, I just haven't needed it. It's crazy. And I don't even notice it. That's the thing. It's not even like a conscious thing. I just don't, it's not even on my radar. So Beck came and picked us up, and then, it's a bit elementary on my part. I actually got pretty shitty with her, because I was like, oh, you know, the kids are pretty keen to come back tomorrow. Like, maybe we'll go back tomorrow. She's like, oh, you can. I'm like, well, why don't you want to come back tomorrow? I don't want to. I'm like, nah, sorry. You were there for like 40 minutes and the kids absolutely loved it. And it's family time. You don't just get to be like, nah. That was just shitty, eh? And I don't know why that pissed me off. I really don't. The only thing I can think of is about my expectations is that weekends is family time. And, you know, just being like, yeah, don't feel like it, is not family time. That's called bullshit. And so I still don't really have an answer for that, if I'm to be honest with you, except that I just had to kind of let it go. But I think it kind of sowed the seeds of just frustration between the two of us for the rest of the day. Ended up putting on my story where I was wearing a beanie, but I had my ears poking out, and Beck just refused to kiss me. She's such a dog. I get like this, and then she just turned like this, so I had to kiss her cheek, and I'd be like, "No, kiss me," and she's like, "No, like." Change your beard. I was like, change your beanie. I was like, no way. I was like, don't be a dog. Just kiss me. And so I refused to change my beanie. She refused to kiss me. And we both dug our heels. And I don't know. It was so funny. And it wasn't until like I would realize I'm going to give her a kiss and my beanie had changed. This is just how petty we are. Listen, it was all in jest, right? It was funny, right? We weren't serious about it, but it was funny. And
I had my beanie readjusted. I'd go in to give her a kiss, and I'd realize that I'd pull back, put my ears out, and then go back in for a kiss, and then she would reject me. I was like, "Fuck it, I don't care. No one your beanie. No one your kisses." So it was funny. Yeah. So yeah. So then, kids had a nap. I went out and did. What did I do? I had to go out and do something. I had to go drop some stuff off for Beck and do a bit of running around. Yeah, do a bit of shopping in that too. So, came back, sorted out the backyard, sorted out just heaps of little odd jobs and stuff. Oh, I finished the girl's cart. That was really cool. They've got this fairy floss machine that, this is the really cool part, is that they've actually, so they wanted to start having money to spend. And Beck and I are big believers, like, pocket money is not a thing. You don't get money just to exist. And you don't get money to do chores. Chores is a part of existing, right? And if you want to make money, you have to go deliver value and create value for someone else. And so when the kids were real young, it was probably close to about 2 years or 2 years ago, probably pretty close, I reckon, maybe 18 months. They wanted to start, well, Lexi specifically, and obviously because Lexi was doing it until he wanted to do it. So, we went and, Beck went and picked, the kids did, picked the lemons off the tree and then took the lemons to some restaurants and that around town and sold the lemons to the restaurants. So then they took that money and then they went and did some lucky dips, I think. And then they took that and then they, made some brownies and they sold the brownies and some, anyway, so they just kept all this money again and again and again and again. Until had enough to be able to buy a fairy floss machine, you know. And the cool part is, like, there's been times where Beck and I have put money into it, but we've always explained to the girls that we have to get paid back too, you know, so they understand that it's not just donations. And it's really, really, really cool. Like, and in doing so, like, Lexi's been learning about, like, maths, and it's real life and practical. And so we started building this cart. And it's a really, really cool car. We use some ply and, you know, all these bits and pieces. And it's just been sitting at the front of our house for the last few months. And I'm just like, I'll be honest. I've been apathetic with it. I really not prioritized it. Obviously, my argument is that there's other things I would rather be doing. There you go. Yeah, that's the truth. So, with my focus on wanting to actually just get things tidied up and get my house and, you know, as my mind's starting to get in order, I want my environment to get more in order as well. And so it's been really cool. I finished that. Sorry. I finished putting it all together, and then tomorrow we'll get the paint and mount it, and we'll paint it, mount it, and put the sign on, and then the girls can start hiring it out, which is super exciting. So, so we're excited about that. And, so that was cool. It was one of the things I did today. Just all sorts of stuff around the house. The kids, especially Eliza, man, she's in that. She's fun. She's cheeky, a lot of passion, but man, she pushes boundaries and she knows how to do it really, really, really well. So, yeah. The thing that I'm really cautious of on what I say is that I know I have to follow through on it. And I'm very intentional with the words I say because I know whatever I say I have to follow through on. And I think we just kind of need to decide how we're going to go about navigating nighttime routine and shit, because it's literally just like an hour-long process where you just, like, shut up. Oh, man, here's another one for you. Again, following through on what I say. I told, all those, like, crafts and stuff, or the letters and that I did for the girls and the tracing thing. Well, Tilly was amped and she loved it and all that sort of thing. And so what I did was, I told them they got out of the shower. I was like, girls, put your PJs on. I was like, whatever's in the office. And we've got a rule that we've started doing. We just started picking stuff up and putting it in a crate. If it's not looked after, we take it to the Salvos or something at the end of the week. And so we just, you know, making the kids a little bit more responsible for what they're doing. And I said to Lex and Tills, I was like, hey, listen, whatever's, like, you guys need to go put your PJs on and then go tidy up the office, and whatever's not put away, I'm going to go put it in the bin. All right, you guys have to go put your stuff away and show that you're actually looking out for it, after it. And so Lex came in, got dressed real quick, came in. Lex had nearly finished putting her stuff away when Tilly came in, when Tilly was running around. I was just like, Tilly, what are you doing? And she was like, oh, I'm playing. Oh, no, she didn't even say that. Oh, I can't remember what it was. No, she didn't say I was playing. She said I'm something else anyway. And I was like, darling, what did I tell you to do? Get dressed and go put your stuff away. I was like, okay, I'm going to go put your stuff in the bin now. I'm like, oh, like, I never enjoy it, hey? Like, and it's such a pain because I'm like, hang on. You okay? Back doing something in the background. But the same thing is, like, I know, and again, with respect to orienting our kids in the world and making a world that actually makes sense for them, is that, yeah, like, we have to be able to actually follow through, and what we say happens, you know, positively and negatively. If I say to the kids, I take them out on a date, then I do. If I make them something, then I do. If I tell them there's going to be a consequence, the consequence happens. And it's about making sure that, you know, the future they're going into is what is portrayed. So, yeah. So anyway, so that wasn't fun. Here's the other thing I found really interesting. Like, I've been listening to Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown. And obviously, for those who are familiar with the work she talks around, gosh, what is it? Like, shame and guilt and the difference between the two, and one of the best things I've ever learned is just sitting with people in the middle of their shit. You don't have to say anything, you don't have to offer advice, you just be there. And there's a difference between empathy and sympathy. Empathy is when you can empathize and relate, and sympathy is when you feel sorry for someone and they're not the same and they're not even close. And Tilly was really, really upset, obviously, and Lexi said to her, Tilly, can you please leave? Tilly, can you please leave? Tilly, leave. Like, I don't want you. Tilly, you're going to make me cry. Like, because Tilly was upset. And Beck and I heard this from the... I was on my way to put the stuff in the bin, and we heard this. And I turned back around. I was like, Lexi. I was like, honey, babe, that's not how it works. And so it was an opportunity then to show her that it's like, hey, when someone else is upset, we don't isolate them. We don't push them away. And we don't make them go away. Rather, when people are upset, we sit with them and we let them, like, work through their pain and their disappointment or their sadness, and we're there with them. And so it was this really cool opportunity to see that in action. And I know that Lexi's someone who, and I feel like it's quite indicative of a firstborn, someone who, she feels emotions big, and she feels... she empathizes a lot. And so I can understand, but also then letting her know that, you know, and I've said this before, you know, oftentimes I find, like, with Lex, is that she'll just run to her bedroom when she's upset. And that's fine. But she, both Beck and I are very conscious that we don't want to create a thing where she's not allowed to be vulnerable. And she's not allowed to be seen. So, yeah. That's that. That's today. I'm going to go hang out with my wife.